your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds Podcast.
Woo! We made it.
We are live. We made it happen. After, you know, some careful figuring everything out, we are live on IGTV. We're live on Facebook Live. And we are coming at you with an amazing individual, Mr. Sasha. He's the founder of Push Peak, Australia's fastest growing personal development company. Over the years, Sasha's created a proprietary system known as the Fast 4 Formula, which is drastically shifting and transforming people's lives and incomes, and with everyone that really he's been coming in contact with. Sasha's brand is preferred amongst the populace because of the story behind it, man. This guy is authentic at its core. His system was created from his own experience, you know, where he overcame tons of struggle. And today he's teaching the principles behind what his methodology is. And I love this man. Right now, this gentleman, this brilliant man, he's pushing the brand to the next level. You know, he foresees Push Peak as being worldwide brand, hosting events all around the planet, boot camps, live immersion. Sasha, blessing, bro. I'm pumped to have you. Let's rock it.
What a fucking intro. Damn. I'm like getting winding up with big bow. I'm like, let's do it, bro. That was so rude, dude. That was amazing. I love it. That was phenomenal, dude. That was so powerful. Thanks so much for having me, man. I love the switch up. I mean, we had a brilliant episode last week with yourself on my show, so I'm really excited to share this content as well, and I'm really appreciating the invite, man.
Bro, you know what, man? It's honestly, it's my pleasure. It's been so beautiful just to have a connection with you, you know, to be in proximity. And, you know, I feel like we come from so much of similar backgrounds. And right. To me, that's been just a really way. It's like a connection of a brotherhood, bro. You know, we're the future, yeah. I believe. We get to, you know, come together, collaborate, give love to the world, help people that really, you know, need it. And I think that we can do that so much stronger as a community of like-minded individuals. So, dude, today is all about you, man, and your brilliance, because you are doing some massive things. You know, you're sharing brilliant content. I've been, you know, watching some of the content, and you're just madhousing it, like giving and giving and giving, bro. It's been phenomenal to watch, man. And I just want to, you know, really acknowledge and honor you and what you're putting out there, because I think so many people right now need to hear it, need to see it, need to, especially in the times that we're currently in, need to be more immersed in it. And, you know, we're just blessed. So with that, I kind of want to get started, and I want to just take this through, you know, and anybody that's listening right now or coming on later, to really understand a little bit more about you, because, you know, the resilient minds, we believe, you know, I believe, and what I really always try to identify with each of my guests is really understanding that our experience, our X factor, it pushes our big Y. So, you know, we've talked briefly about your experience, but I think it's important, just for a foundation, if you can really share some of that, you know, experience that you've been through in the Cole's Notes version, because I know we could be here for a long time, but I want to like really celebrate what you've pushed through and how you've been able to encapsulate that in the fundamentals of what now you found Push Peak has been founded upon.
Right. Yeah. Brilliant, man. I mean, it's always something that I think for me, I feel it gives me a lot of depth to the way that I teach, the way that I train people, my ability to connect with someone at a really deep, like fundamental level from here. For me personally, like grew up in a pretty humble beginning, a very humble beginning, right? Grew up with, you know, three other siblings in a really kind of low socioeconomic family, and parents loved me deeply and had gave everything they could for me. But in terms of what we had and the opportunity, quite limited overall. Always kind of had this idea in my own mind of myself. Like I just had this, to begin with, it was very narcissistic. I would look at it now, I was like, yeah, no, you're better than most people. Don't worry about it. Like who cares? Don't really try too hard. Things are going to be great for you. You're just going to kind of achieve a pretty brilliant life by yourself on your own type thing. And that kind of wound me up in a place where naturally, because I think I'm pretty good, I didn't really execute on any action. I didn't really try very hard. Things just kind of happened to me. And I was just like, damn, what's happening? Like, you know, this happened, you know, this happened. And because I was so wishy-washy on like what I wanted from life, I never really went after anything. I didn't have a vision. I didn't have any kind of desire. I just was like floating, like what I call just a floater, right? Just someone just bobbing along the surface and being taken with the current, right? One of the most dangerous places to be. and naturally, a lot of people around me, you know, started influencing me. People with a vision, people with a belief as to, hey, yeah, Sasha, look, you've got some potential. Maybe you should come and try doing this, or, you know, and I kind of got swept away with a lot of the wrong people. Spent a lot of time, a number of years, you know, doing some pretty bad things in terms of drugs, using drugs for quite a while, partying most weekends, just kind of losing myself in numbness of my kind of shitty situation. And I resonate heavily with people who are going through that right now, because I deeply understand what that's like. And for me personally, the reason that I kept going back to using drugs, for example, was because my life that I created was really shit, right? So there was no, like I was like sitting there in my everyday life. I'm like, okay, cool. So, all right, this is what we're dealing with. Right, this is pretty shit. I hate this. Okay, cool. There was nothing that would stop me from going and doing that thing. Right. And so what I had to do to stop all that was create what I now do. And what I now consistently have been doing for years and years and years, create on paper and create in my head the life that I wanted to live, because I had to create something that was worth not using that thing. Right. So that became the thing. Like there was so much pain and it got to the point where everything was falling apart, homelessness, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And I was like, all right, fuck. This is a one-way ticket to the graveyard, buddy. And it just became so evident to me that what I was doing to myself, and coming from a very loving family and like knowing deeply that I had so much potential. Like I know so many people, my clients and people in general do. Like I truly believe that every single person has ridiculous, ridiculous potential in terms of what they can do, what they can achieve if they just are able to utilize their resources, meaning what they were gifted to as a person when they came to this earth. If they can get out of all the limitation, all the bullshit that tangles them up, and actually utilize their gifts, people can achieve phenomenal things. Right?
The belief systems or the bullshit, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so for me, I was so tangled up in that. I was tangled up into it, and I was so bound down in the belief system, my money story, my friendship story, my relationships, everything was ruined in an absolute tangle. So like I said, I began doing that with my notepad and my pen. And I still do it to this day, every single day, because I read it from, you know, one of my mentors, still Grant Cardone, right? He's like, write your goals down, do this. And I'm like sitting down, I'm like my pen on the paper, and I'm like, this is so fucking gay, man. I'm like, all seriousness, I'm like writing this down. I'm like, yeah, you're going to make $1 million. I'm like sitting there, I'm like, you're so full of shit. Like, who are you kidding?
Like the ego's coming up.
Right. It's just crushing me. Everything I tried, just crushing me. Who are you kidding? Are you going to buy property? What are you talking about? What are you fucking talking about? Right. Just destroy. And I was like, just postpone that disbelief for a moment. Just allow me just to focus on something that at least has some hope, right? And I was like, okay, great. Focus on this. And it just became my habit, right? Every single morning, I found some joy and I found some light in taking a minute before my day started and just reading and attaching to that life.
So I like this because I think this is important. I think that this is so fundamental, and this practice is very, I always share, it's like a rhythm, you know, when you start to like fulfill it and continuously attach to it. But like following, you know, that X, you know, that experience that you continue to, you know, you had $100,000 in debt, you were facing homelessness, and like you, I felt that family love. So I know what you're talking about specifically, that family love. What was the defining moment that allowed you to turn that point and say, listen, wake the fuck up. I'm not going to the graveyard, but I'm going to start fulfilling and taking this experience and following to make it my why, my big why, my big purpose.
Yeah.
I know it's a loaded question, but bro, I think that, you know, I think that like, it's just, it's so monumental that shift.
100%. And to be completely honest, I went through a shift where, I kind of lost everything, and I was playing around in this dark place of like still using a lot of drugs and still kind of going back and forth. And I would love to say that there was a multitude of like catalyst moments where I was like, fuck this type thing, right? But as anyone knows, like you say it once and it's like, okay, cool. Like now you actually have to go and do it, and then it's hard and you're like, fuck. So I was very blessed. I was very blessed to actually have my fiance now, a lady that I've been attracted to for years and years and years. And we began speaking at the kind of tail end of everything I was experiencing. And I don't actually believe I've shared this story, so this is pretty cool. And her family, you know, in comparison to me and what the place that I was in was, you know, they had some money, right? They had some really strong family kind of morals and ties. I just had this feeling that, all right, cool. So who the fuck am I to walk in there, look at her dad in the eye and say, I'm going to look after your daughter. Like, who the fuck am I? Who's going to be able to do this? What am I going to do? What are you going to bring to her? You're going to bring a whole heap of debt. You're going to say, yeah, like, here's my, like, what are you going to do here? Right. So I felt so unworthy. And, to be honest, the biggest driving factor for me was to be able to get myself to a place where I could look her in the eye, look at her dad in the eye and say, like, I fucking got this. Right. So, for me, like that, I was so driven and compelled by that, and it aligned so much with the person that I knew I was in here. So it was so in like congruence, and I was like, I'm like, this is what's up. I'm like, this is what's happening here. And so it's difficult, it's absolute fuck, but I was so blessed every time I looked at her, you know, so in love with her. And it was just like, I see what I'm doing here. And it was, she was helping me and I was helping myself. So it was this it was phenomenal. Right. So,
that is, I think that's one of the most beautiful whys, bro, that like we can share as men, right? Like as men to be able to, you know, be like, I want to look after, you know, my loved one, my beloved, right? I want to take care of her, and I want to let her pops know that I got her back. I got her back, that I'm going to be there, you know? And so dude, tremendous respect for you, that dude. And then like, that is a compelling why. And I think that so many individuals out there, you know, they have this why. So as you continue to now serve, and you know, now that you're looking after her, what is the further vision? You know, like we've shared a little bit about Pushpeak, but like, talk to us about Pushpeak and how that elaborates into your why, and how that also combines everything with regards to, you know, serving these men or women, you know, at this type of, you know, belief system, and what it can do to bring, you know, more life to their life.
Yeah, brilliant question. And to be honest, I'm keeping it raw and fucking straight up.
I love it. That's what it's all about.
What happened was, you know, I came out of that place, and you know, I started an automotive repair business, began making some pretty good money, and just became ferociously obsessed about money, right? That was the thing. And I was like, I just want to make, because I had so little of it, and there's always massive lack around money, right? So that just became the sole focus, with the why to be able to, you know, protect and give back and secure what we were building, right? So I was like, okay, great, this is what's happening. Very little thought was, I mean, in terms like ethics, I've always been a very ethical person, so not to say that, but very little thought was given towards like, we'll give back. Well, you know, someone else other than us. It was just like, this is our thing. This is me. Protect. Very, very, very single-minded and narrow-focused. And there came a time where, you know, I was making really good money, right? And I was like calling my fiance. I was working down in Sydney at the time, calling her every single week. And I'm like, babe, look, you know, I've done these numbers this week. Like it's out of control. And she's like, super excited. It's like amazing, phenomenal. She's like, this is incredible. And then next week, what happened? Broke the record again. Amazing. Okay. Like, wow. Like next week, same thing a fucking again. I'm sitting there just reeling these numbers. And I'm like, it's becoming more and more just like I'm reading a fucking bit of paper that says this, this, this. Anyone have anything to say? Okay, next. And it was just next. It was just fucking next. And the meaning behind it just got so fucking whittled away. So I kind of lost this, like, because that was my thing. I was just like single-minded. This is what I'm doing because of this. And I began achieving that. And it happened really fast, like in a period of 18 months. Made 7 figures, doing really well, phenomenal. And then that money that I'm like doing it for her, right, for us, started to really lose meaning. And I'm like, okay, right. And so, so then the transition for me came when, you know, I always, I look back to periods of time when I was like my younger brother and I were, he was like 7, I was like 9 years old. He was like brilliant at like push bikes and like doing tricks, and like we used to build like dirt jumps and do all this mad shit on push bikes. I used to never be on the bike, but like I just had the mind where I would like know how to instruct and coach and look after him to see the result. And he'd be there like doing ridiculous tricks. He'd come back to me like, Sash, like, what do you think I did right? Like, have a look at that. And he'd use my advice and I'd guide him, and we'd like have brilliant times. And I used to have so much pride and like enjoyment out of seeing it happen and see him fulfill what he wanted. Like it was brilliant. So for me, part of that kind of little note of that, and then also naturally through that time, I had a lot of people asking me like, yo man, like I remember you like not too long ago, what happened? Like by this time, right? And by this time, I'm like, you know, buying some properties and I'm like investing and I'm like, you know, doing a lot more, and things are changing radically. Like people were like, yo, can I got this thing, man. Like, can you maybe help me out with what I'm going through now? Like, you know, is that okay? Is that something you can help me with as well? And it kind of like sparked again, I guess, that that pattern in me, that real deep empathy side, coupled with like the meaninglessness of the pure financial gain, just stacking numbers, which is brilliant. But without the meaning, I really lost it. And I was just like, right, okay, this is pretty fucking shit, right? And then that kind of, you know, began the transition where I started working initially with a handful of clients, just one-to-one, working with a few programs, and then, you know, just kept building it and building it. And
so you found purpose. You now all of a sudden people are asking you and you could relate, right? So now purpose was created. So 100%. as you built this purpose now, what, you know, maybe you can share with regards to how that purpose, you know, for those that are listening or watching live right now, you know, what is it that helped you identify, you know, because you had all the money, you had all the wealth, you know, you were investing, you were doing well. What was it that made you all of a sudden, you know, feel alive? So it wasn't meaningless anymore. It became like a next stage where you felt like you needed to contribute. You felt like you needed to do more because the money wasn't what was the foundational part. There was something else. So what was it specifically that helped you realize that?
Right. Yeah. Great question. I think there was two parts to it. Like naturally, like I said, I've always been really, really good at seeing what, you know, people around me are doing and being able to deliver really specific kind of targeted advice based on what they're experiencing to help them. Right. So that was part of it. And that kind of like sparked it in me purely out of like, there was a degree of it. And I think there's like such a wish-wash between like, hey, I'm really financially driven. I want money. And then very much in the same token, it's like, hey, I want to give back. And it's like the same thing. Like you're driving on the ego of giving to other people. It's like my ego says money. My other ego says I need to give to people because they make me feel good, like fulfillment from them. Right. And it's, I mean, like it's kind of much in the same, like it's just, it's like, you're trying, like if all those people went away and they weren't telling you how great you were and how amazing the results you were, rah, 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 like, would you feel the same? Like, I'm not sure, right? So for me, I was like, okay, cool. So I've got to build my own why. I've got to build something like solid foundation around myself that's not based on money. It's not based on fucking whatever I'm doing outside of here, you know, transformation, rah, rah, rah. That's great.
But that's significance.
Right? See, spot on. Right? Significance. In some way, shape, or form, I'm gaining significance from giving myself to other people. And I'm waiting for them to say, hey, please, you know, tell me how great that was. I transform your life. Brilliant. That's secondary. And so for me, especially with what I went through, I became obsessed with purely focusing on like, okay, great. Adversity is something that I've found to be absolutely consistent in life. Doesn't matter what you're doing, where you are right now. If you're starting a business, absolutely. If you're just freaking starting to walk and you're a little baby, it's the hardest thing in the fucking world, right? You're constantly going to be put in front of hard situations, right? And I became obsessed then at that moment with developing and growing myself in a way where every single day, like I have this vision of myself, I write it down here. Every single day, I'm literally just like taking a small shaving off and I'm like, I'm working that steel to become that ultimate version. And it's like, I use the analogy, especially with my clients and different programs. Think about like the Egyptians, right? They built the pyramids, phenomenal, like absolutely insane structures, okay? Do you think that, you know, when they were carving a stone and there was like a little chip on the corner, do you think that the instructor or whoever the fuck, or the Pharaoh said, don't worry about it, throw it up anyway? Like, no fucking way. Every single stone that was carved was cut to perfection. It was rolled with perfection. If there was a grain of sand that was out of line, they'd fucking remove it and get another one, right? And for me, I look at myself and my development and my spirit, my soul, my business, everything is just this perpetual building of pyramids, where now all I'm focused on is, where is the next block? Okay, is that block ready? Has it been prepared? Is it cut from the right stone? Get rid of it. It's not. It doesn't actually belong in this vision that I'm building. And so I'm just in this perpetual process where everything I'm doing now, business, spirit, relationship, is just stacking blocks, right? And that for me is endless, right? There's no end to that.
I think that, sorry, that is so important and it's so fundamental. And I just want to touch on, because what you just shared also, so everybody, I think so anybody's listening is clear, is that because you are stacking them and making them, it's in iteration. It's not perfect right away. It's evolved, right? And I think just so that, you know, the procrastinators or the perfectionists that are listening right now, that's not what Sasha's saying, by the way.
I'm not saying wait till the block's perfect.
That's right.
please don't do that. Thank you for clarifying that. Absolutely.
Because bro, that's the thing, is that the beautiful thing is, like, you know, and we've, you know, I can definitely relate, you know, that process is so important. So, you know, going back to Push Peak and how it's like been so instrumental in your growth, describe the process behind it to anybody that's listening that might be, you know, curious. Describe the process and how that process is, you know, delivered through the values that you obviously, you know, really hold dear and near to your heart.
Yeah, awesome. Great question, man. So it's very much dependent on where a person is in their journey. I've got a couple of different things that I work with people on different levels on naturally. So for more of a startup person who's looking to just clear away some of the limiting beliefs and the stuff that might be holding them back, there's a couple of different things that I do in regards to that. But pretty much, to be honest, is just a replica of what I went through in terms of an experiential phase. Much with a lot more, probably with a lot more love and maybe not as much pain. But if I look back and I reflect on it, I look at some of my programs, I'm like, yo, dude, that's like exactly what I went through, right? The transformation, pretty much going through it. It's like a 6-step phase where it's like, okay, like, great, using your awareness, where are you at right now? In the scheme of things, if you were to write down, look, 6 out of 10 on this, 4 out of 10, give yourself a bit of an evaluation, right? And then there's a series of questions that I kind of probe and ask that kind of, the idea being that you go like, okay, well, I'll probably say 5 out of 10. Okay, probably say, you know what I mean? Kind of like, you're all, all right, it's actually not really there. And then from there, it's like putting you in a place of pain and suffering, essentially, in a loving way. But through that, it's like, okay, right. You know, in order to actually move forward and get to that place there, I can't be standing on some like superficial foundation that you've built. Like, it needs to be ground fucking zero. There can't be anything there. You can't be like
in your head, like, well, I'm kind of like pretty good at this, but I'm not sure about that. You know what I mean? You have to be completely obliterated to then rebuild. So in terms of a mindset understanding and that standpoint and really building the right foundation to do anything from, that's kind of the part of the framework that I go through there. And then with some of my other clients who are more so in sales and different areas of service-based businesses, I'd say strong focus is, especially after the recent event with Jordan, is now focused around sales and exploding a business or a person's sales ability, because there's such a blockage around like, well, you know, I'd love to deliver some value. I'd love to do this. You know, it's $10,000, $10,000, fuck. You know what I mean? Like that whole relationship, it just ruins people in order to actually build a business. Like, so it's like how to actually break through that and sell with the right kind of mindset so you can achieve, you know, 6, 7, 8 figure businesses. That's kind of the goal with the other side of that as well.
So for those that don't know, and they're not very well aware, what is it, you know, that you're working with, you know, Jordan, the famous Wolf of Wall Street, and like doing these brilliant and amazing things, you know, because personally, I love the movie. I don't know any, that's the only thing I know about Jordan. I love Leonardo DiCaprio and I love his story. But now, you know, it'd be amazing to just, you know, give everybody the insight of like how you're partnering with him. What is, you know, things that you're doing with him, and you know, how is that elaborating in, you know, your business even more?
Yeah, good question. So what happened with Jordan is, funny enough, I was at a bit of a crossroads and I'm like, okay, cool. So this is like, rewind, it was around about February last year. Okay. And so, I was speaking to my fiance again, right. My kind of like advisor to me. And I was like, I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm kind of at this point now where I feel as though I'm like the biggest fish in the pond. I'm like talking to my friends and they're like, oh dude, man, you're freaking killing it, man. Properties. And this has gone well. And like, it's nice to get that. But at the same time, I had these huge alarm bells where I was like, holy shit, like something's got to change. Right. So, I was speaking and kind of consulting with her. And I'm like, look, I've got to do something to lift my game. I've got to be around some bigger people. I've got to play a bigger game, because right now what I'm doing, it's not going to get me to the next level. Okay. So, and during that time, one of the things that I wanted to really build and improve on was sales, right? I'd done a fair bit of sales training, like Grant Cardone stuff and a couple of other people who had kind of taught me some basic fundamentals, read a lot of books. But in terms of like actually executing it and being able to deliver consistently based on a particular framework, wasn't really concrete yet. So I was like, okay, cool. And one of my clients at the time, he actually mentioned to me, he's like, hey, I'm like doing this program or course, whatever it was, by Jordan. I'm like, all right, cool. I've heard of him, obviously the movie, watched it, a whole heap of debauchery and colorful fucking shit goes down. And I was like, oh, I don't know, like really? And so I was like in very mixed opinions. I was like, well, all right, like I can see some value about perhaps the system, but overall, like I didn't feel very drawn to it. But I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. So I picked up the book, The Way of the Wolf. I've got about another 20 copies signed by him. If anyone wants one as well afterwards, I'll sell one to you. And I picked up the book. I started reading it, and it just absolutely transformed the way I thought about sales, right? In the blink of an eye, I was just like, this changes everything, right? And I read the book about 15 times over. I literally just had it on repeat on my Audible and just cycled it again and again and again. I was like, this changes the fucking game. Like it's repeatable. It's exactly what I need. It is down to a T, exactly what I asked for, right? From there, I went and actually signed up to one of these, like a small $99 kind of thing, like a mastermind type of thing where he does, you know, live training once, something like that. It's pretty great value. I'm like, man, this is actually really good. Then I got an email recently, not long after that, would have been about the end of April. I got an email from like his director of sales, Matt. And he's like, look, we're doing this mastermind, you know, for specifically people at this caliber, must meet these criteria if you want to actually apply and be part of it. Only 10 people. Come to Beverly Hills for the weekend, spend some time with JB one-to-one over a 3-day weekend, and add a zero to your business. I'm like, that's for me, motherfucker.
I like it. Yeah.
I'm like, that's what we're doing. I'm like, and there wasn't even any question. I was like, I'm like, that's what we're doing. Significant investment to go down and actually make that happen. And I looked at myself, never had spent that much money on myself. It was like 50 grand. And I was like, whoa,
You know, this is a big deal, right? You know, some people are like whinging about a 2K program. I'm here like looking at a freaking house deposit being like, let's make this happen, right? So even in that kind of point, there's a lot of internal like belief systems I had to quickly rewire around, like, am I the type of person that, do I value myself enough to, you know, those types of things I had to really quickly tighten up and, look like tighten some screws effectively there, but made it happen, pulled it together. It was end of April, put the application in, June the 9th, which is just gone now. I was, sitting in his freaking house across from the table from him, like, dude, you have no idea. Like 7 weeks ago, I didn't even know who you fucking, I mean, I did, but I picked up your book and read your book 7 weeks ago. And it was that fast. And for me, that's kind of, my program's called Fast Four. Like, things typically tend to happen pretty fast for me. And yeah, so that was it. And then I went, I kind of pitched him on my idea. I was like, look, you know, this is what I do right now. This is what's happened, my story. This is what I've been through. And this is what I'd like to do with it. And he was like, look, to be honest, best thing for you, if that's what you want to do and that's where you want to go, is if, you know, we do something together. I'll come down to Australia, do these events together. It'll put your brand on the map. I'll introduce you to some, you know, mega people down there. And it's time for you to step the fuck up. And I was like,
music to my ears.
I was like, game on, baby.
Let's do this. Yeah. When do we start?
Right.
I love it.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I'd love to say that, you know, I'd love to say it was like that. And it was like, yeah, I was standing on stage in the next 6 months, but the next 6 months were.
What do you mean? That's not how it is. What?
What do you mean? Oh, wow. Holy shit. Yeah. So, and then. Yeah,
bro, I think that's the coolest thing. And, you know, here you are today now doing things, you know, on stage, you know, your last event was with him. Am I right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
It was, you know, and, you know, I've seen pictures and things, and I think that's like huge. And that's showing the element of resilience in your own self, how you get to from, you know, how we need to be big thinkers, right? I think that, you know, that's a fundamental practice right there, is like, you know, we make quick decisions. We make, because we know based off of our emotion that that's where we're, when we're living in our highest sense is like once logic starts to elaborate and we can't connect the two, the emotion and the logic, through an ethical standpoint, because I believe that like that triangle is so important.
100%.
When we connect that, I think that's where our highest self comes into play. And, you know, obviously you're living in your highest self. Obviously you're implementing things that are able to help people get into their highest self.
Yeah.
And I just want to really like acknowledge that, bro, because, you know, to be able to fundamentally grow that and get to where you are today is huge. And it's no easy act. And nobody, you know, I always say, all that stuff there's a lot of hard work that people, you know, we get rewarded for what we do in private.
Yeah.
Or sorry, we get rewarded for what in public for what we do in private.
100%. 100%. You know? Yeah.
So bro, you know, you've given us so much of these beautiful paths to success. You know, you're obviously, you know, doing so many things to elevate your own success. You know, tell me, you know, like, what do you think is some of the fundamental reasons why people fail?
Fuck, that's such a good question. Shit. But to be honest, I would say, and this is kind of the premise that I started my podcast on, there's a couple things that come to mind immediately. Number one, the inability to overcome fear, right? The inability to, despite feeling completely fried, overwhelmed, and like you do not know where to go, sitting there and doing nothing. You know, that will kill anything. You will destroy any belief. You will destroy any kind of goal or vision instantly, right? Your kind of ability to move through fear, for me personally, it has been again and again and again, the biggest thing, despite maybe not having the money, despite not having any fucking clue how to do it, despite not having the people, whatever it is, but the ability to say, I'm doing it fucking anyway. I'm doing it anyway. That right there is one of the biggest things I see people get so caught up in. It's like getting, and you mentioned it earlier, right? It's worrying about the how, worrying so fucking long and so deeply about the how that they never actually do anything. And by the time they figured out the how, the window of opportunity is passed. And it's like, huh, maybe I'll, the next thing, right? Number one is I would say that being so caught up in fear, being, whether it's fear of like leaving your job, whether it's fear of like, you know, having to ask for help, fear of like, you know, doing something you haven't done before, or like, you know, spending a lot of money on something you've never invested in. Like, so many elements that kind of, you know, summarize fear. But for me, that's huge. And number two that I would see, to be honest, this is for me my strength that allows me to actually break through fear. All right. So putting it in perspective, that's how it works. It's the ability to do hard things again and again and again. It's just consistency, right? And something that so many people fail on is purely like gung-ho, out of the gate to begin with. We're going in, we're doing something brilliant. We're doing it for 3 weeks. Oh, God, this is so hard, dude. I'm done, right? That right there. And this is something like with my business, I'm sure the same with you. Like, it sounds all brilliant. I've done this stuff with fucking the Wolf of Wall Street. Awesome, fantastic, great. Dude, do you think it was easy the whole time? Do you think I was like making cash the whole time? No fucking way. I got down to like 10K in my bank account. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on, right? So that's the reality. And that's like at that moment, I'm like, what are you doing right now? What are you going to do? Are you going to drop into the fear and fucking shut this thing down and quit? No, right? You're going to push through and keep going, you know?
Absolutely. The courage. Create the courage.
100%, man. So failure for me in terms of what I see, what I actually label as failure is, number one, quitting on something that I've been doing consistently when I don't see a gain in the period of time that I would like to. Often it's like, well, he did it in 3 months. Like, and I love the mirror neurons, right? I'm a massive believer. Wow. I'm a massive believer in it. Like, if he can do it, I can do it better. Always. Like, I believe that 100%. But what happens if you don't? What happens if you don't do it better? Are you still prepared to do another fucking 14 months of the same thing? It's like that right there, dude. You know, just because he did it and just because he might have done it before, like, you don't get it, right? What you see on social media. That's right.
It's fascinating, bro. And I think that the thing is what you share too is like we compare ourselves so much to everyone else. And it's because we don't have the discipline for delayed gratification. We all focus on the instant gratification. And right. And what it is like the true masters, the true art of mastery, you know, in business, like you share, is like delaying that. Are you willing to delay that for the next 18 months, 24 months to get to where you need to go?
Yeah.
Because you know in your heart that you can do what you need to do better than the next person.
Yeah, that's it. My phone screen for the last, it's coming up to 3 years now, Gary V. Eat shit for 48 months and then eat caviar for the rest of your life. Look at that. Yes, I kind of break some of those rules because I buy nice shit now that I have the ability to.
You gotta enjoy it, right? You gotta enjoy it in the process.
100%, 100%. Yeah. So failure, dude. That's for me. I label failure as those two, right? Being so suckered up in fear. Number one, that you don't actually do anything, and number two, doing something and not living up to the expectations of people around you, of your own expectations of how long this thing should take, not getting the reward of making yourself feel good or feeling like you are, like you said, like part of something, like there's some kind of ego gratification of like, yes, you're really good at what you do, Sasha. Like being able to get through long periods of time where you get nothing from anyone, right? You get zero gratification. No one's telling you how good you are. No, like you're just sitting there and you're like in this darkness and you're like, yeah. Dude, is it really worth it? Like, what are we doing here, man? You know, that right there, that's fucking game time.
You know, I this story really resonates with me and it might with you too. So Russell Brunson, he talks about how he was like $250,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. You know, when the American government was literally, he was looking at jail time. And he was like, I'm fucking going all in. I'm all in. I'm doing no matter what it takes. He didn't let that insecurity hold him back, but he actually just because he believed wholeheartedly in himself that he knew that it was going to become, and today he has $100 million a year company, you know what I mean? And it just, to me, that story just and it's so cool because, like, you know, my mentors now, you know, like Todd Brown or like Brian Kurtz, they knew Russell during that time. Right. Do you know what I mean? And so when I'm telling that story,
so dope.
And they're telling me that, and they're like, I'm just like, oh, that's fucking the coolest thing. But like,
wow,
what happens there, right? Is like, is this belief in yourself, bro, and it just continues to evolve. And I just, you know, that's what I love about like your mission. I love about how you're showing up in the world, bro, and your story, and how you continue to. And I think when you share like, eat shit for 48 months, yeah, we need to, you know, have those little bit of like abilities to go and eat caviar once in a while. Like, yeah. Right, we gotta, that's right. Like live a little bit of that legacy in the meantime. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with having those tastes of it, right? So I really love that. I think that really can resonate with a lot of people, because I think there's a lot of people that are listening here that think that, you know, it is all fucking just, you know, high life. And really, you know, there's a lot of time, Sasha, you and I, we're eating shit, you know? And because they see that sometimes we're doing things that, you know, are more for they see the highlights.
That's exactly right. one piece of advice that one of my more business advisors kind of gave me is he said, and this is something I use consistently since the day he said it to me, when I'm about to make a decision, business wise, relation, whatever it might be, it's essentially like future pacing hindsight, right? So he's like, okay, cool. So I want you to stop what you're doing right now. I want you to stop stressing. I want you to stop thinking about all the outcomes, the possibilities. I want you just to really quickly take yourself out of your shoes right now. Everyone can do this if they're listening right now. Do it live. Like literally, if you're on the edge of a decision right now, pull yourself up out of that position. Maybe if you need to close your eyes, do that as well. That's cool. And kind of like bring yourself forward to the time that decision has been made and it's been seen through to how you'd like it to be. And then kind of look back on what you've done. And then tell yourself, instruct yourself based on you sitting in that position 6 months, 12 months, however long down the line, what would you do from here? Like if you made that money then, or if the deal didn't go through, or if the partnership fell apart, or if the relationship fell apart, or if she told you to get fucked, what would you be thinking and saying you did right then and there in that moment when you're about to make a decision? Man, that has helped me exponentially to make decisions, to move in the way that I'm like, fuck, that's what I do. Stop what I'm doing, do that.
Resonates so much with me right now. Like, that's literally the question that my father asked me to get when I was out of, like, that I love. I always share is like, do it for your future self. It's like the practice that you're speaking of is so powerful. And I think that you know, you just shared a really great way for people that they can really utilize. So, you know, bro, I'm just really grateful because the ability to connect like this is so beautiful. But I really want people, if they're listening right now, or if they're, you know, listening later on the recording, where is it that they can find Sasha? You know, what it is that you're, you know, where they can find you on anything, if they need to look you up, you know, get more questions answered.
Yeah.
Do you want to just share? And then I'll share them in the show notes as well.
100% to it. Instagram, dude, it's probably the biggest place I hang out. Otherwise, Facebook's always good. I've got some, you know, great communities on Facebook that I deliver a lot of content in as well, just for free. So either or, you know, Instagram's just Sasha_Karabut, Karabut. You'll probably plug it anyway. And the same thing on Facebook as well. So definitely add me or hang out with me on either one of those channels. But probably I'd say more active on, to be honest, actually pretty similar. I do a fair bit on Facebook. So either or, I would say, whatever your preference is, jump on there. That's it.
Amazing. Yeah. And did you, I think you have a free download too that everybody can
100%, yeah. Advantage of.
Do you want to just mention it, and then I'll also throw it into the show notes for you, bro?
Yeah, excellent. That'd be amazing. So that's just a essentially like through the different businesses that I built online and offline, pretty much just took analysis of all the different tools, software, structures, framework of like do this, don't do this. And I've pretty much just built that into it's about 25, 30 pages, not too deep, but it's got some pretty cool illustrations and how to do this, how to do that. Pretty much just, I call it the 10 commandments of information to income, how to like monetize what you do right now and turn it into a business that you can actually scale using the right softwares and systems and tools as well. So definitely, man, absolutely love to share that with everyone as well.
Love it. Sure. Awesome. Yeah. So you guys, and if anybody's listening, I throw it into the show notes if you're listening at a later time, so you guys can check it out. Sasha, you know, I always want to ask, you know, this final question I ask all my guests. It's so fundamental, so important to me. If you had 3 days left to live, bro, what would you do?
That's right. Here's the epitome of future pacing yourself. Oh, this is so brilliant.
If I had 3 days left to live, what would I do? Wow. To be honest, if right at this very moment, current climate, economy, as much as everything's going on with coronavirus and stuff, and I had 3 days left to live, I'd probably pack up my fiance. She's been wanting to go to Europe for at least 18 months. I just pack her up and throw her into a jet or something and just get the fuck out over there and spend some time with her and see it through until the final days. Yeah, to be honest, that's what I do. Yeah.
Beautiful, bro. Yeah. Any final insights, any final shares, any final statements you want to just share with the community?
Man, to be honest, I just, like, I'm such a big believer in like human potential, like coming from the place that I did and seeing so many of my clients and people that I help now go from, you know, desperation and places of nothingness to doing phenomenal things. It's something that's so brilliant, but the hard thing about it is that, you know, it's so easy to say like, yeah, go and believe in yourself or like, you know, never stop, like all that kind of crap. But, you know, at the same time, like people need to, unfortunately, they need to find their fucking rock bottom. Right, they've got to hit that bitch, and there's no. And as much as I'd love to go and smack you in the face and tell you wake the fuck up and go and, you know, live your dream, man, I'm sorry, but you're gonna have to go through it yourself. You know, I've been watching my brother go through so much pain and suffering for years. Thankfully, he's coming really good now, and he's doing some brilliant things. But, you know, despite me and my family like begging and screaming and everything, it was like, what's gonna happen, man? So, in that, you have to just, you know, trust that what you're doing in your life is perfect for you. And at the same very time, you have the complete power and ability to say, fuck this, I change right now. You know, so believe in yourself, despite if it's painful, and just know that you haven't fucking hit that rock bottom yet. It's coming soon, maybe. And when it does, it's up to you to snap your fingers and say, it's fucking game on, bitch. Let's change my fucking life right now. So, yeah.
I love it, man. You know, suffering, you know, Tony says, you know, suffering is anything that allows you or takes you away from being in a beautiful state. And I want to just share that, like, you know, we all deserve to be in a beautiful state. So thank you so much, bro. You know, your essence, your state, the element of, you know, the beautiful state that you bring to the table is really I have tremendous gratitude for you. And I just want to say thank you for coming on the show, bro. It's been a blessing to share the mic.
Yeah.
And thank you again, brother. Much love.
Likewise, man. Really appreciate it. Thank you again so much. Really appreciate it. Thanks, brother.
Cheers.
See ya.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Resilient Minds podcast. If you seriously love the episode, please be sure to share it with your friends and click that subscribe button. Do it now. As I continue to grow, I'll be bringing on some leading entrepreneurs into the show. So follow me on Instagram or Facebook and drop a comment or send me a DM. Tell me who you'd love for me to interview and who you'd like to hear more from. Once again, Eric Valens signing off. And remember this, your X factor always determines your Y factor.